Ever made like an honest mistake,
Yeah.
you know, and then you kind of panic trying to fix it and just make things like a million times worse? Well, today's deep dive takes us into the world of property law with a case that perfectly illustrates that.
Oh, yeah.
So we're diving into Producers Lumber and Supply Co. v. Olney Building Co. This case is a wild ride, let me tell you, through good faith, the legal concept of waste, and why sometimes the law actually rewards being the bigger person, so to speak.
Hmm. Interesting.
So picture this. A house, right, mistakenly built on the wrong lot, demolished in a fit of frustration, and a legal battle that hinges on, get this, the value of a pile of rubble.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're going to unpack all the fascinating details of this case with our expert today. But before we do, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Producers Lumber.
Yeah.
Imagine finding a house built on your property that you never agreed to, right? What outcome would you hope for? Keep that question in mind as we delve deeper into this property law puzzle.
Yeah, what's so interesting about this case is that it isn't just about, like, a simple property dispute. It really delves into the complexities of intent, consequences, and that legal principle of waste.
Okay, so let's start with the oops moment. Olney Building Co. accidentally built a $5,000 house on land belonging to Producers Lumber. And, you know, back in the 1950s, $5,000 was a considerable sum. So this wasn't just some minor mishap.
Oh, absolutely. It was a significant oversight with substantial financial implications. And to make matters worse, those attempts to resolve the issue amicably failed.
So both sides tried to work things out. But the negotiations for the sale of the house fell apart. I imagine those conversations were pretty tense. What happened next?
Well, on the same day those negotiations broke down, Olney Building Co., seemingly out of frustration, decided to just demolish the house. And they didn't carefully deconstruct it. They bulldozed it, leaving debris and damaging the foundation of the lot.
Wow, talk about a drastic move. So they essentially destroyed a $5,000 house on someone else's property. What did the court have to say about that?
Initially, Producers Lumber was awarded a mere $600 in damages. Seemed like a slap on the wrist, you know, considering the value of the house that was destroyed. But this is where the appeals court really steps in and shakes things up.
All right, let's talk about that appeals court decision. They decided to increase the award to $5,900 for Producers Lumber. What was the legal reasoning that led to such a dramatic increase?
The appeals court focused on a few key points. First, they acknowledged that Olney Building Co. made an honest mistake initially by building on the wrong lot. However, their actions following that mistake, particularly that demolition, were deemed reckless and malicious.
So the court was basically saying that good faith only goes so far.
Right, exactly. The court recognized that even if the initial mistake was unintentional, those subsequent actions can transform the situation into something much more serious. The demolition was seen as an act of spite rather than a genuine attempt to rectify that initial error.
And this is where the concept of waste comes into play, right? Can you explain what that means in this legal context?
Absolutely. Waste, in legal terms, essentially means that someone has destroyed or significantly devalued property that doesn't belong to them. The appeals court saw that demolition as a clear case of waste, which is a very serious offense in property law.
It seems like the court was sending a strong message here. You can't just go around destroying things, even if you made a mistake initially, especially when it's not even your property, right?
Precisely. And that message is further emphasized by the fact that they awarded Producers Lumber an additional $300 on top of the house's value. This extra amount is known as exemplary damages, which are specifically intended to punish the wrongdoer and deter others from engaging in similar behavior.
So the appeals court really came down hard on Olney Building Co., highlighting the importance of acting in good faith and avoiding destructive actions, even when you feel you've been wronged. But was everyone in agreement with this outcome?
Interestingly, there was a dissenting opinion in this case. One judge felt that Olney Building Co. actually did have the right to remove the house, and that Producers Lumber shouldn't receive what they viewed as a windfall. This dissenting opinion introduces a fascinating layer of complexity to the case.
Now that's intriguing. Why would a judge disagree with a majority ruling in such a seemingly clear-cut case of property damage?
This is where the legal principle of unjust enrichment comes into play. The dissenting judge argued that since Producers Lumber hadn't actually paid for the house or invested anything in it, awarding them the full value would essentially be giving them a profit they didn't deserve.
So it's a matter of balancing fairness with deterring bad behavior. It seems the majority of the court prioritized punishing Olney's actions to discourage such reckless behavior in the future.
Exactly.
Now, throughout all of this, that $5,000 figure keeps popping up. Where did that specific number come from? Was it just an arbitrary valuation of the house?
That $5,000 figure is actually a crucial detail in this case, and it all goes back to those initial negotiations. You see, during those attempts to reach a settlement, both parties agreed that the presence of the house added $5,000 to the land's value. This agreement, documented during the negotiations, became a key piece of evidence for the court.
So in a way, Olney Building Co. got caught in their own web. Their own valuation of the house during the negotiations came back to bite them.
That's exactly right. Their agreement established the value of the house in the eyes of both parties, preventing them from later downplaying the extent of the damage they caused.
This case is already proving to be a wild ride. What other legal lessons can we unearth from this demolished house debacle?
I think it's worth taking a closer look at the concept of waste and how it functions in property law. This case provides a really clear example of why it's such an important legal principle, but its applications extend far beyond just demolishing houses.
All right, I'm ready to explore the nuances of waste. Tell me more.
Well, imagine a scenario.
Okay, so you're saying there are other situations where this legal concept of waste might apply. It sounds like something every law student should have, like, a really firm grasp on.
Absolutely. To understand waste more broadly, let's step away from those demolished houses for a second and imagine a different scenario. Let's say someone is renting farmland, right? And the agreement is they'll cultivate crops. But instead of farming, they just decide to dig up the entire field, destroying the topsoil, making it completely unsuitable for agriculture.
That doesn't sound like a very happy landowner. I can already see the legal battle brewing.
Exactly. This is a classic example of waste. The renter, while having the right to use the land, acted in a way that diminished its value and went against the terms of their agreement.
So in the case of Olney Building Co., demolishing the house and damaging that foundation was essentially like the renter digging up the farmland, right?
Yeah.
They went beyond what was considered acceptable use of the property.
Precisely. The law takes waste very seriously because it protects those fundamental rights of property ownership. It ensures that the property is maintained and its value is preserved for that rightful owner.
So it's not just about outright destruction, but any action that, like, significantly reduces the value or the usability of the property. What other actions, besides actually destroying physical structures, could be considered waste?
Well, there are actually different types of waste. We've been talking about what's called voluntary waste, which involves that intentional or negligent damage. But there's also something called permissive waste.
Permissive waste. That sounds intriguing. What does that entail?
Permissive waste involves neglecting necessary maintenance and allowing a property to deteriorate. For instance, if a tenant ignores a leaky roof and doesn't report it, and then that leads to extensive water damage throughout the house, that could be considered permissive waste.
Ah, I see. So it's a failure to act that results in the property losing value. It's not just about doing something destructive. It's also about neglecting to do something that preserves the property.
Right. Another example would be if someone owns a forest and instead of sustainably harvesting the timber, they just clear-cut the entire area. This can lead to soil erosion, habitat destruction, and a significant decrease in the value of the land.
So it sounds like waste, in all its forms, has, like, a really significant impact on property rights and responsibilities. What kind of legal consequences can result from these actions?
Well, those consequences can range from financial penalties, like what we saw in the Producers Lumber case, to legal actions that are aimed at stopping the waste, and even the termination of leases or contracts.
It seems like waste acts as a crucial safeguard for property owners, ensuring that even when someone is acting in good faith, they can still be held accountable for actions that harm the property.
Absolutely. It really reinforces the idea that property rights come with responsibilities. You can't just do whatever you want with someone else's property, even if you think you're in the right.
Okay, so we've dissected that oops moment, the messy demolition, and the legal fallout, including this fascinating concept of waste. But let's take a step back and play what if for a second. What if Olney Building Co., instead of resorting to the bulldozer, had handled things differently? What could they have done to protect themselves?
That's a really thought-provoking question. And it takes us back to that dissenting opinion we talked about earlier. Remember, one judge felt that Olney did have a right to remove the house, but the way they went about it sealed their fate.
So you're suggesting there might have been a right way to actually remove a mistakenly built house. It sounds like a logistical and legal nightmare to me.
It's definitely a complex situation. But imagine if, instead of that whole bulldozer approach, Olney had carefully, you know, disassembled the house, salvaged the materials, and left the property in a reasonably restored condition.
That sounds a lot less like a demolition derby and a lot more like a like a strategic construction project.
Exactly. And by doing so, they might have been able to argue that they were simply mitigating their losses, trying to recover some value from their mistake, rather than just intentionally inflicting damage.
So instead of being perceived as acting out of spite or anger, they could have positioned themselves as acting responsibly and trying to minimize the negative impact on producers' lumber.
Precisely. It might have even allowed them to seek some compensation for the value of those salvage materials or the labor involved in the whole removal process.
It really highlights the importance of keeping a cool head, even when you've been wronged, and thinking strategically about all your options.
I couldn't agree more. Rushing into those drastic actions can have some really severe unintended consequences. Taking a step back, consulting with legal counsel, and exploring all those available options can often lead to a much more favorable outcome.
And speaking of exploring options, this case also emphasizes the power of documentation, would you say? If Olney hadn't agreed to that $5,000 figure during those initial negotiations, things might have played out very differently.
That's such an important point. Clear written agreements can be just so invaluable in legal disputes. They provide a record of what was agreed upon, preventing parties from changing their stance later on. This is a lesson that goes way beyond the realm of law, really.
Absolutely. Whether you're negotiating a business deal, a construction project, or even just borrowing your neighbor's lawnmower, put it in writing.
You just never know when a seemingly simple agreement might come back to haunt you, or in this case, save you from a very costly legal battle.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've untangled the details of this fascinating case, delved into the concept of waste, and even explored some alternative scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it all mean for our listeners? What key takeaways should they be walking away with?
Well, I think this case serves as a powerful reminder that even honest mistakes can have those really serious consequences, especially when they're followed by impulsive or destructive actions.
It's a cautionary tale about thinking before you act, right? Keeping your cool under pressure and considering those long-term implications of your choices.
Exactly. And it highlights the importance of seeking legal counsel early on, understanding your rights, and exploring all those available options before you take matters into your own hands.
It's also a reminder that the law isn't always black and white. There can be nuances and complexities that require careful consideration.
Right. And sometimes what seems like a simple solution, like demolishing a house, can just backfire spectacularly.
Okay, so we've covered those legal lessons and the practical takeaways. But before we wrap up this deep dive, is there a final thought, like a nugget of wisdom, that you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, you know, I find myself returning to that dissenting opinion. It reminds us that there are often multiple perspectives on these legal issues, and what seems fair or just can really vary depending on who you ask.
So even in a case with a seemingly clear outcome, there's still room for debate and disagreement.
Always. And I think that's a good thing, you know? It means the law is constantly evolving, adapting to those new situations, and considering different viewpoints.
It's a reminder that the legal system, like any system, is made up of people, and people are fallible, right? They have biases and interpret things differently.
Precisely. And that's why it's so important to engage in these discussions, to explore those different perspectives, and to constantly strive for a more just and equitable application of the law.
I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a really incredibly insightful deep dive. We've uncovered so much from this one case about property law, good faith, the consequences of our actions, and even the inner workings of the legal system.
It's amazing how a seemingly straightforward case can just reveal so much about the complexities of the law and the human experience.
And now, for our listeners, a final thought to ponder. What if Olney Building Cuss had not only carefully removed the house, but they also offered to pay for any inconvenience or disruption caused to producer's lumber during that whole ordeal? Would that have changed the outcome of the case? Would it have changed the public perception of their actions? Something to think about.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question to consider. Would a simple gesture of goodwill, like offering to compensate producers' lumber for the disruption they caused, have actually swayed the court's decision or softened the public's perception of Olney's actions?
It's impossible to say for certain, but it certainly would have presented a very different narrative. Instead of appearing reckless and defiant, you know, offering compensation would have demonstrated a willingness to take responsibility beyond just the physical removal of the house.
Yeah, it seems like it would have shown a genuine attempt to make amends for the situation rather than just trying to, like, get out of a legal jam. Absolutely. It could have shifted that entire perception of the case. Instead of being seen as a company acting out of spite, they might have been viewed as a company taking accountability and expressing remorse for their mistake.
It makes you wonder if sometimes, like, a little bit of humility and a genuine apology can go a long way in just smoothing things over, even in the middle of a legal dispute.
That's a really insightful point. You know, in the legal world, there's often such a strong focus on assigning blame and determining liability. It's easy to forget that we're dealing with human emotions, relationships, and those kinds of things. Acts of genuine contrition, acknowledging the impact of our actions on others, can be incredibly powerful.
It's like that old saying, it's not about being right, it's about doing the right thing.
Exactly. And sometimes doing the right thing means going above and beyond just what's legally required. It means extending a hand of understanding and seeking a resolution that, you know, benefits everyone involved.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that even in the often, you know, adversarial world of law, there's always space for compassion and reconciliation.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I think that's a really valuable message to leave our listeners with. Whether you're a lawyer, a law student, or simply someone navigating the complexities of life, remember that the most effective solutions often prioritize understanding, empathy, and a genuine desire to make things right.
Well said. This deep dive has been quite a journey. We've explored those legal intricacies, the ethical dilemmas, and even the human emotions intertwined in this seemingly simple case of a house built on the wrong lot.
We've uncovered some truly valuable lessons along the way about the importance of clear communication, you know, thoughtful decision making, and the potential consequences of impulsive actions.
We've learned that mistakes are inevitable, but it's how we choose to respond to those mistakes that truly defines us.
And sometimes a little bit of grace and goodwill can make all the difference in the world.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Producers Lumber and Supply Co. v. Olney Building Co. It's a case that reminds us that the law is more than just rules and regulations. It's a reflection of our values, our choices, and our capacity for both compassion and conflict. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp. And remember that sometimes the best way to win is to find a solution that benefits everyone involved.